I spend a lot of time in my car. You know, I'm an interim minister, so I don't... If I moved to every place that I've served, I'd be spending a lot of time packing and unpacking my house, and I'd rather not do that. So I spend a lot of time in my car. And there are a few ways to think about that. One is, I just have to get where I'm going, and that doesn't make for a happy camper. And the other is to be on the journey and to notice things along the way. Yesterday I drove back from Charlottesville, Virginia. I was at a Civil Air Patrol conference. Did you know that there's a glass-blowing place on Route 29 down at, maybe you did know that because, you know, this is more your neck of the woods than mine particularly. And one of these days, I keep telling myself, I'm going to stop into that because I love glass. I work in glass. But I know where that glass-blowing place is down on Route 29, down around in Fauquier County somewhere, I think it is. And I know where, you know, on routes that I travel routinely, where the best views are and where the cheapest gas is and where the good coffee shops are and where are the places that I like to eat. So that's one part of a journey. And the other thing is that journeys change us a little bit. Do they not? I had the fortune in my 20s to be traveling on a train in another country and I didn't know I had a reserved cabin, right? So I didn't find my rightful seat, so I'm looking for a place, and I ended up being invited to sit with a family who spoke the language. They were Americans, but they spoke the language, so they were helping me interpret, and we had, you know, so I got to meet new people, and they helped me navigate a little bit on the way, and you know, and that changed me a little bit. And it changed my assumptions. In the story that I told this morning, Reuven and Shimon, their assumptions never changed and never got challenged because they refused to look up. All they ever saw was the mud. And that, in a lot of ways, encompasses the Israelites' journey for 40 years in the desert. 40 is biblical code for a lot. 40 days, it rained a long time. 40 days, it was a lot of days. 40 years is a generation. 400 years, a really, really lot. 40 is biblical code for a lot. So the Israelites really did have to wander in the desert for 40 years, for a generation, for that generation that had been enslaved. And we know this is prehistory, and yes, I know it didn't actually happen this way, but that's not the point. The point is, they had to wander in the desert for a generation to lose the mindset for a new generation that had not been enslaved in Egypt, to come up and to stop saying, oh, we had it so much better when we were slaves in Egypt. The poem we heard this morning was by Frank X. Walker, who is my personal favorite American poet. I discovered him when General Assembly was in Louisville in Kentucky. He's an African-American poet. He calls himself an Afrolatian poet because he's from Appalachia, but he's African-American. He's from Kentucky. He was the poet laureate of Kentucky. And this particular collection of poems is from the perspective of a slave, Lewis and Clark's slave, who didn't have a choice but to go on this journey, and yet sees all these wondrous things on this journey. Sometimes we go on a journey and we don't have a choice. Sometimes we do have a choice. The story of the Exodus, well, why was it written? Well, we could get into the, when you get me started on biblical things, I can go down a rabbit hole. I'm not going to go too far down this rabbit hole. But it was written when the Jews were in exile in Babylon to help explain, well, how did we get here? Who are we, right? This is our origin story. We have to change our mindset. We have to become something new. And there's a journey involved. Isn't that important? And today is Palm Sunday. Maybe some of you recognize these things. If you, right? Today is Palm Sunday. The day historically that we talk about when with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which was also a journey, and all during Lent is the journey of moving toward Jerusalem. And what was the point of Jesus going into Jerusalem? Well, it was to kind of go at the Roman Empire, right? This is the Jews are all traveling to Jerusalem for one of the three big temple festivals, Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And the Roman soldiers are coming in the other gate, and here's Jesus riding in on a donkey into Jerusalem. And the people are waving branches at him. Now, if you're Jewish, if you've been raised Jewish, right, here are the palms, right? So maybe they had whole little palms like this, and only sometimes it says palms, sometimes it just says leaves. Maybe they just had single leaves like this. But they're waving, you know, and saying, Hosanna, save us. Hosanna. Which is like a huge, at the Roman Empire, right? That's so in your face. And if this has deep meaning for you, afterwards you may have a palm to take home. There's enough for those for whom this has deep meaning. But there they are doing all this. Whee. And does this resonate with us today? Are there people who are doing things like this today going at the establishment? There are. And is it irritating some people? It is. And what happened to Jesus when he got to Jerusalem? Well, Good Friday's coming. You know, and what meaning does all of that have for us? And by the way, the palms, if you were raised Jewish, and this is, I love all this intersectionality. If you were raised Jewish, then you know that at the one of the other big Jewish temple festivals in the fall, Sukkot, what do we do with palm leaves? Palm leaves and the lulav and myrtle leaves and willow and the citrus, the lulav and the etrog, and we shake them, right? So it all comes back around anyway. And that's also reminiscent of the Jews being in the desert, right? The living in the booths. But this was a grand overturning. This is saying we're not going to take it anymore. We don't care. We're being bold. This requires that we get woke, that we say, oh, we need to pay attention to the way things are. The status quo is not working for us anymore. So last week I talked to you about stuff that's going on in the UUA. And, you know, it's both difficult, but there's such an opportunity for us now, right? If we can address our own white supremacy. And that's oh, when somebody says white supremacy, what do we think of automatically? Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan. But white supremacy is not just white nationalists who go around screaming whites only, right? It's a problematic phrase because we attach that to it, but white supremacy can mean just privileging European white culture above all else, normalizing that this is the status quo. This is what we expect. So, you know, oh, of course our executives and all of our top employees are white, but you know, we have a person of color in the diversity office. Well, great. So this is a time when we're actually examining all this and saying, oh, maybe we could be doing some things better. Maybe we can be checking our own privilege. And that's a journey, is it not? That's a journey. We're moving into some place that we haven't been before. We're shedding the old mindset. And it's hard for some of our people. It's hard for some folks who are still saying, but my feet are all muddy. And not looking up and seeing the miracle of what's happening. Now, these things don't just happen in the UUA offices in Boston, because who's the UUA? I know you know the answer to this. Who's the UUA? We are! That's right. We're congregational in polity. There's not someone whom we say has been appointed by God who sits there and tells us all what to do. We are the UUA. We elect all these folks, and they come from our congregations, and it could be any one of you. So we are the UUA. So when we examine ourselves, we don't just examine those people in Boston. We examine all of ourselves. So what can we be examining here? What's the journey that we're on here? And how are we changing? When are the times that we've just looked at the mud on our feet? When are the times that we've been forced on a journey, but when we've still witnessed the miracle of it? What are the old things that we're shedding? What are the old things that are important enough to keep that we carry with us? What would you take on your journey? As we go forward, we don't know where we might end up, right? We don't know. We talked about the seeds and rising up and becoming something new. And as we move forward into what we maybe not don't know yet, and I want you to think about this, on April 29th, there's going to be a covenanting workshop, and I hope you will all come and work on the covenant together and think about what you're willing to promise to each other in our holy contract, our holy promise with each other. But I want you to think about what it is that you want to carry forward and what it is that you're willing to shed. And I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to tell each other now what you want to carry with you. And if you can think of it, what you're willing to shed. turn to somebody in the pew and say, this is what I'm carrying with me on my journey. This is what I'm willing to shed. All right. I invite you to come back. Come on back. Because this, is this worthwhile? Is this worthwhile? Are you thinking about stuff? So that's great. Continue that conversation in coffee hour. Yes. Seriously, I'm that's homework. Continue that conversation in coffee hour. Think about, because you can't carry everything on your back, right? That's just, oh my goodness. Have you ever, whoever's gone backpacking? And you, like, do you want a really super heavy pack? You'll go 10 feet. The object is to be as light as possible and still take what you need, right? So continue this conversation. Think about how we want to be together as we move forward. All the things we've been talking about. And if I don't tell you enough, as we've been journeying together, and I've been on this journey with you, because I'm only going to be on this journey with you through next June. For some of you, that's not soon enough. And for some of you, but I'm only going to be on this journey with you through next June. And if I don't tell you often enough, I'm so proud of the work that you're doing and how you're working together and moving forward together and considering sincerely how you want to be a congregation together. I think you just rock. And if you had been the Israelites in the desert, it wouldn't have taken you 40 years because God would have said, no, they got it. They got it. They're good. So I'm just mightily impressed. And I need to keep telling you that. Go forth. Even if your feet are muddy, look up. Notice the miracle. Namaste.